Today we conclude a couple of different things. We conclude a theme, about an eight-month theme that we've been working through on the church advantage, how the church is advantage for God, church advantage for us, church advantage for others, absolutely. And we also have inside that theme is our last series. And underneath that theme of the church advantage, we've been talking about wisdom, about how it's an advantage for the church to have God's wisdom. He's left it behind for us. And in the midst of tax season, with all the W's that we've seen, we're talking about W6 is the title of this last series. So I don't know if you've been looking at your W's, but if you haven't, then you got to get going. You only got a few more days. Tax day is around the corner. So with your W2s and W4s in church, we've been talking about W6. The six W's of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And so we've talked about wisdom, our first W. We've talked about work. We talked about wealth. We talked about words. We talked about women. And then we took a break last week and had Jay Henry, which was a great blessing. And then today we're concluding with the wicked and the righteous. It goes a little bit off the pattern there. So it's the wicked and the righteous. Proverbs 24:1 says, "Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company." That's easier said than done, isn't it? Sometimes, I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves. "Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company." Proverbs 21:21, talking about the righteous. So we get the other side, the flip side of the coin here. "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." There are good things in store for the righteous and those who make righteous choices. There's no need for us to envy the wicked. No need to desire their company. We just need to pursue righteousness and love, and we will find life, prosperity, and honor. Can I get an amen? It's good stuff. The wicked and the righteous. There are over 85 verses in the book of Proverbs that address the wicked or wickedness. There are over 75 verses in Proverbs that address the righteous or righteousness. Together, that is about 150 verses that deal with today's subject. Just to put that into perspective with the other topics that we've looked at in this series, the last topic, the topic on women or wives, if you do a search through the book of Proverbs on women or wives, you'll find just about 27 verses that deal with that subject. The subject of work or labor shows up in about 16 different proverbs. But then if you expand that search out to include work, labor, sluggard, lazy, laziness, diligence, then that brings the total up to about 30 verses. The topic of wealth. If you look for wealth, money, or riches, a combination of those three shows up in about 40 different verses in Proverbs that were used to go towards that message on wealth. Looking at wealth, money, and riches, 40 verses. The search on words, you know, if you look for words and you kind of expand that out to include topics like word, words, mouth, or tongue, that brings up 80 verses. So we're starting to creep a little closer. But some of these other topics that we've looked at have been in the 20, 30, 40, now 80 range for words. The word wisdom, our very first topic in this message, the name of the book, basically, you know, it's a book of wisdom, the Proverbs. The word wisdom shows up 50 times, and the word wise shows up about 60 times, totaling about 110 verses about wise or wisdom in the book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom. The subject of wicked and righteousness shows up more than wisdom does in this book of wisdom. It's a huge topic in this book, and rightfully so. It's a subject that was very important to the wise writers, to those wise men who compiled this book of wise sayings and wise statements. So we would be wise to see the importance of this subject this morning. And we live in a world that leans toward relative truth as opposed to absolute truth. The truth is moving, it's shifting, it's always moving somewhere where absolute truth talks about truth is solid, it's real, it's definable. See, without absolute truth, there's no solid ground for defining what is good or bad, what is healthy or unhealthy, what is righteous or wicked. We live in a world that lives in a very gray definition of morality, and all too often that spills over into the church, into our lives and our interpretation of our choices and our actions. The Bible is clear that wickedness and righteousness exist, and they are clearly defined by a bold black line. Our choices and actions are not gray, they are black, they are white. They are wicked or they are righteous. And there are consequences that follow those choices, those decisions. Today is not a stereotypical message about how righteousness is good and wickedness is simply bad just because the Bible says so. Since we're coming from the book of Proverbs, it's the book of wisdom. It's more of a nuts and bolts type of book. Very practical book. And we're going to be looking at a comparison. We're going to be simply looking that it's just plain wise to be righteous. Righteous choices are wise choices. They're not just good because we're told they're good in the Bible. Now, is it wrong to read something in the Bible and believe it and obey it? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with God saying, do this because I said do it, and you saying, okay. I have these conversations with my kids from time to time. You need to do this. Why? Because I'm your dad and told you to. Do it. Don't ask why. Just do it. Be obedient. But God offers us more. And especially in this book of Proverbs on this subject, He offers us logic and reason. He gives us the why behind the what. Righteous choices are good because they have good consequences. It's measurable. It's provable. I will give my sons explanations from time to time, and often I'll try to make time to do that so that they understand why this is a good choice, why this is a wise choice. And God has done that for us in many places. And so that's how we're going to be framing today, that wicked choices are unwise choices. They're not just bad because we're told that they're bad. They're bad because they have measurable consequences that are bad. It's simply wise to be righteous and unwise to be wicked. Righteous choices are wise choices. Wicked choices are foolish choices. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to compare consequences in this book, from this book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom, on wickedness and righteousness. And look at a very practical side of this truth, or these truths. So the first one, wickedness separates us from God more and more, but righteousness brings us closer to God. Wickedness separates us from God more and more, but righteousness brings us closer to God. Once you get that down, we're going to spend some time. We're going to camp out in this Proverbs 15 for a moment. Let me read these verses to you, and then we're going to go back to verse 8 and kind of look at that and dissect it a little bit. Proverbs 15, 8 through 9 says, "The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness." So let's go back up to verse 8. We're going to display verse 8 as we talk about this a little bit. It's easy for the wicked to appear righteous. The wicked can sacrifice and they can appear righteous. That was in their day. And in our day, they can do the same type of sacrificing. At their time, the sacrifice was a temple ritual. But even in our day, the wicked can make sacrifices and look righteous and appear to be righteous. Sacrifice as an outward action only can portray a false image of righteousness. But God knows the heart. They can appear righteous on the outside. And to our eyes, a wicked person can look righteous through a sacrifice. But they're not fooling God. God detests their sacrifice because it's not real. It's empty. This verse says that he detests the sacrifice of the wicked. But the prayer of the upright pleases him. See, prayer, on the other hand, is very intimate. It reflects a real relationship with God. See, fake prayer will yield no results. An inwardly wicked person might be able to say the right words publicly. They might be able to appear righteous in a prayer the same way that they might appear righteous in the act of sacrifice. But the prayer of the wicked is empty and it has no results attached to it. Prayer, whether it's public or it's private, it is intimate. It reflects a relationship with God. Without the relationship with God, it's empty. There's no substance. God hears and he listens to the prayers of the righteous. There's a connection there. When the righteous pray, they are changed, they are blessed, they are touched through prayer in a way that draws them even closer to God. The second verse in this passage that we just read in verse 9, we can go on and flip that up on the screen. The Lord detests the ways of the wicked. I want to kind of a little bonus here. I want you to notice that it doesn't say that God hates or detests the wicked, does it? What does it say? The ways. This passage is an excellent example of how God has exemplified for us what loving the sinner and hating the sin looks like. He detests their ways. He detests the things that they do. The flip side is that God loves those who pursue righteousness. And this is going to kind of frame a little bit of our definition of what the righteous means today. That for us, none of us are righteous on our own. We know that. We cannot obtain that. We cannot achieve that. They couldn't do it in the time that the Proverbs were written. We can't do it today. Thankfully, today we have something more than they have. We have Jesus as our righteousness. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But even so, that there's none that are righteous. No, not one. So it says that God loves those who pursue righteousness, which I think is a great definition to frame what we're going to be looking at today as the righteous. Those who are not perfect, but who pursue righteousness. The righteous. And that pursuit of righteousness brings us closer to God. Wickedness separates us from God more and more, but righteousness brings us closer to God. The second observation from these verses in Proverbs about the consequences of wickedness and righteousness is that with wickedness, there's no solid ground. There's no solid ground, but with righteousness, but righteousness provides stability. With wickedness, there's no solid ground, but righteousness provides stability. Proverbs 12:3 says, a man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. Great. You guys have a ton of Proverbs coming at you this morning. They're good stuff. This whole book's full of great stuff. This has a twofold truth in our lives. We're going to kind of slow down a little bit here for a section, and I'm going to need to pick it back up. It's twofold truth. It's practical, and there's also a supernatural side of things. On the practical side of things, simply using logic, simply using reason, observations, experience, measurable evidence to conclude that there's no stability found in wicked living. Wicked choices bring no stability. You look at wicked living. You look at a wicked life. What are some of the things that contains? Selfish ambition. Tunnel vision. Focused on yourself. Egotistical. Lies or dishonesty. Shifting truths. Greed and jealousy. Or maybe it's down the road of lust, drunkenness, or addictions. Broken, unhealthy relationships come from wicked choices and wicked living. What in that list brings any kind of stability? Nothing. Nothing. But think about how stable righteous choices are. Supporting and encouraging others. Honesty and integrity. Love and kindness. Peace, seeking peace with those around you. Connected, healthy relationships with others. That's a picture of stability. And those are righteous choices. It's measurable. It's observable. It's logical. It's reasonable. The wise choice is to be righteous. It's unwise to be wicked. This is a great angle to take with someone who doesn't believe in God. If they don't believe in God, then there's no reason for them to trust in the Bible because in their eyes, the Bible was written by a fictitious being. But if you take the truths of the Bible and you reference the Bible, let them know where you found these truths. But if you take the logical impact of these truths and present them in a way that I just did, you can observe that it is wise to be righteous. Here are the righteous things that you can do, and it brings stability. And here are things that you have seen in your life. And this is in the Bible. Here's some things that you see as far as wicked choices, unwise choices, foolish choices, and see where they lead. No stability. That's not good. Which of these two is more favorable? Stability. Wisdom. Righteousness. And argue that, share that, the practical side of it, the logical side, the reasonable side. And that might be a window, that might be a door that they might start to consider. Maybe there is something to this Bible because it's right all the time. It's true, it's correct. And maybe that'll open the door for them to start to believe that God actually exists and that He did author this book. That is a supernatural book that is living and active. So I told you this has a twofold truth in our lives. The first side is the practical side. The second side is the supernatural side. So the practical side, these things are measurable. Wickedness, righteousness. It is more wise to be righteous. It is foolish to be wicked. Just on a practical side. The other side of that is God's involvement in these two different lifestyle choices. When we draw closer to God through righteousness, we gain more stability in Him. We are closer to Him. That alone is a more stable life. Not only that, but God blesses our righteous choices and actions. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. God defends the righteous. He protects the righteous. When we make wicked choices and are involved in wicked actions, we move further and further away from God and closer to unstable ground. God is against wickedness. He opposes the wicked choices and the wicked decisions and actions that we take. Wicked choices bring about a natural and a practical negative consequence that we see in the world around us. But there are times when God goes above and beyond the natural and practical consequences and dishes out His own consequences. See, there's no solid ground found in wickedness. It's not wise. But righteousness provides stability. Proverbs 10:25 says, "When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever." Just going to write this down. The third truth about wickedness and righteousness is connected to this stability or this instability, and it is that wickedness will wreck me. Righteousness will protect me. And that's something that you can get stuck in your head. Go on and turn to your neighbor and say, "Wickedness will wreck me." Okay, turn to your neighbor, say that out loud, not in your head. Doesn't do any good. Go back and review the Proverbs on words. Wickedness will wreck me, and then tell them, "But righteousness will protect me." Get that stuck in your head. Say that whole thing together. Turn to your other neighbor and say, "Wickedness will wreck me, but righteousness will protect me." We need to get that in our heads. That's good stuff. That's helpful. That's healthy. Proverbs 13:6 says, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. See, this goes beyond mere stability or instability. Wickedness is not just unstable. It will undo you. Wickedness will wreck you. Wicked choices are just plain unhealthy. The path of wicked choices always ends bad. And we've seen it time and time again. We've seen how the wickedness of hate can undo a person, can wreck a person. How jealousy or greed can wreck a person. How holding a grudge or withholding forgiveness just eats away at that person, not the person they're angry at, but it causes bitterness and anger in that person. Wicked choices, they're just not healthy for you. They will wreck you. When the storm comes through, the wicked are gone. But the righteous survive. The righteousness will protect the righteous. And once again, we see this twofold understanding of this, that the righteous, they're protected through the natural result of being having integrity. When you have integrity, there's some protection in that. The righteous are also protected on a spiritual level. You know, if the Bible says do this, then we know that whatever it says to do, it's just going to be healthy for you. Do this. The Bible says to love. Various ways, various places, various groups. Husbands, love your wives. That's advice that will yield a healthy marriage. It's just wise. It's wise to be righteous. We are to love each other. That provides healthy relationships among the brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving each other provides a great example to those outside the church of who God is and what he looks like. We're told to love our enemies. It's not as easy. But what good comes out of hating our enemies? What good comes from hanging on to unforgiveness or holding grudges? It's just healthier to love. And that's just love. There are so many other topics in the Bible, subjects that we're told to go and do. They're just simply healthy for us on a very practical level. So we've got the practical side, and we've also got that we're protected by the practical side. I want to make sure that's connected there, that section there talking about love, that is a practical thing where God says, go and do these things, and that protects us. That gives us protection. That helps us to weather storms. That helps us to stand forever. That's a practical side, but we also receive the spiritual side of that. That God protects us himself through divine intervention. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Safe. Protected. Proverbs 11:8 says, the righteous man is rescued from trouble, and it comes on the wicked instead. This is a comforting verse for the righteous who are weathering storms right now. God will rescue you from your trouble. And I love the second half of that verse. And he'll take the storm to someone who's wicked. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'm cool with that. His vengeance is much better than what my vengeance could be. I just want to sit and watch, though, you know? Just let me be there. Let me watch as the storm moves from me and on to the wicked. The fourth observation on this comparison of consequences is that the wicked are ensnared by trouble, but the righteous escape trouble. Good stuff. Who wants to escape trouble? Me. I'm there. The wicked are ensnared by trouble, but the righteous escape trouble. The wicked cause their own trouble, and they are ensnared by it. Proverbs 12:13, an evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. Proverbs 29:6, an evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous one can sing and be glad. There's a peace about living a righteous lifestyle. You can live free. That's peaceful. Wicked choices lead to trouble, and though you might be able to dodge the bullet a few times, some people might be the artful dodger and be able to dodge the bullet hundreds of times. But you will be ensnared by the trouble that you've created. It will catch up to you. But the righteous are free from that worry. It's just wise to be righteous. You don't have to worry about getting caught or getting found out or getting busted because there's nothing to catch. There's nothing to find out. There's nothing to bust. Which isn't grammatically possible anyway. There's nothing to burst. Grammar police. Bust isn't a verb. Proverbs 22:5. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. So we're talking about this trouble and escaping trouble. The righteous have an advantage because we can avoid trouble altogether in a lot of situations because of this. Our next observation, number 5, the wicked are destroyed in the wilderness, thorns and snares, but the righteous walk a clear path. We have the advantage of being able to avoid trouble altogether when we walk a clear path. This is kind of the why side of the last observation about trouble and kind of precursors it to be able to avoid it altogether so that you don't even need rescuing. The righteous avoid trouble because we walk by a clear path. The path of the wicked is just filled with all sorts of hazards and dangers. This verse that we just read lists them as thorns and snares. Proverbs 11:5 says, the righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the righteous clears a path for them. Your wise choices make your path clearer day after day after day. Every righteous choice, every wise choice helps to clear your path even more. Righteous choices. It's a safer path. There's a greater chance at making a good decision tomorrow when you make a good decision today. There's a better chance of making a righteous decision tomorrow because you made a righteous decision today. It's safe. It's clear. That's practical. But as with others, there's a spiritual side to look at as well. Ryan, I'm going to skip Proverbs 13:21. We're going to go down to Proverbs 3:33. See, if thorns and snares of the wilderness, if they don't get the wicked, if the wicked somehow avoid the practical consequence of their unwise choices, then God will have the final say on their consequences. God's curse will be on the house of the wicked. Proverbs 3:33 says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. There's not much left to interpret there. Pretty clear. But he blesses the home of the righteous. Let's go and write this down. Number 6, wicked living will be cursed, but righteous living will be blessed. And this will show up in so many different areas in our lives. Our family, for instance. Proverbs 14:11 says, the house of the wicked will be destroyed. We just read in Proverbs 3:33 that the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked. And here we're seeing that the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. See, God's curse is on the house of the wicked, and the house of the wicked will be destroyed. Wicked choices are unwise for the sake of our families. You don't want the curse of God on your house because you're making wicked choices. Men, listen up. We are the head of the household according to Scripture. We are responsible for the success and failure of our house in a spiritual context. We are to lead the way as spiritual leaders of our household. If you neglect leading your family with righteous choices, with wise choices, then there will be consequences. And even if you avoid the natural consequences, we are told that there will be supernatural involvement. And that's no place to be. That's no place to put your family. Beware of the outcome of your choices. God will curse the house of the wicked and bless the house of the righteous. It's clear. Your friends, it's another group kind of expanding out from your family. Your friends will benefit from your wise choices, from your righteousness. And your friends are also at risk by your wicked or unwise choices. Broadening out more, your workplace, where you go to work. Your workplace will profit from your wise choices. Your workplace will profit from your righteousness. Or your wicked or your unwise choices will cost your business. It'll go one way or the other. Wicked living will be cursed, but righteous living will be blessed. And this expands even to the nation as we continue to expand that out. The nation will be cursed or blessed by the wicked or righteous actions of its people. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. 11:11 says, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is destroyed. Seventh observation. This comparison of consequences. The wicked bring strife to others, but the righteous bless others. Really, you take what you have. If your living has brought upon you a curse, you take that curse to others. If your living has brought upon you a blessing, then you bring that blessing to others. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous nourish many. See, the righteous bless others. It's what they do. But fools die for lack of judgment. Are you a blessing to others or a pain to others? Do you bring good to the lives of those around you, or do you bring strife to those around you? Are you healthy for others to be around, or are you toxic? Do you comfort, or do you cost people their sleep? Are you driven by righteousness, and you have a righteous attitude with righteous choices and righteous actions? If that's what drives you, you will bless other people. If you're driven by wickedness and you have a wicked attitude with wicked choices and wicked actions from a wicked heart, then you will bring strife to those around you. It's just wise to be righteous. It's just better. It just is. And last in this list of consequences, comparing the consequences of wise and unwise choices of the righteous and the wicked, is that wickedness leads to death, both now and for eternity. But righteousness leads to life, both now and for eternity. Let me finish by reading a handful of proverbs that deal with that subject, and I'll just let the proverbs speak for themselves. Proverbs 11 19 through 21 says, the truly righteous man attains life, but he who pursues evil goes to his death. The Lord detests men of perverse hearts, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. If you skip down to verse 30 of that same chapter, it says, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Proverbs 12:28. The way of the righteous is life. Along that path is immortality. Life here, life for eternity. The choice is yours. The choice to choose the way of the fool, unwise choices, means to choose wickedness, or to choose wisdom, wise choices, and that means to choose righteousness. the wicked and the righteous.